This week's showroom have been sponsored by Le'ilu Nishmas Hachover Rav Yaakov Aryeh ben Hachover Rav Yisrael. Ches Teves, Wednesday the 15th of December, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Malava de Malka.
I'd like to discuss this very special mitzvah that we have, eating Malava Malka, Motzei Shabbos. She'll see Bez Hashem has a certain connection to the parashas we've been reading the last couple of weeks. And this is a mitzvah which generally needs chizuk. It's said over the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who once quoted the famous words of Eliyahu HaNavi Bahar HaKarmel, when Eliyahu saw how Klal Yisrael were, on the one hand, serving the Nevi HaBaal, on the other hand, paying at least lip service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Eliyahu said, Loma atim poischim al shnei ha-se'ifim. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky once seriously joked about that particular phrase. There's two se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, very short ones. One about Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, eating the Sudan Rosh Chodesh, that is. And there's another very small se'if about eating a Sudah on Malava Malka. And those short se'ifim, the Beis Yosef found it necessary to devote an entire se'if to those two halachas, because he felt those two halachas are, to a degree, not taken seriously enough. And as Yaakov said, regarding many people, Lama atem poischim al shnei ha-se'ifim. Why are you skipping over those two se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, which the Beis Yosef found so important to devote a whole little siman to them, because he felt these are mitzvahs that people are not taking seriously enough. So the way I'd like to launch into this very huge topic for the amount of time that we have is actually from an interesting episode that at first glance seems to have no connection to this, but Bez Hashem we will see it does. A very interesting short episode that took place in Sefer Shoftim. In Novi, Sefer Shoftim opens up with the territorial conquests of Eretz Yisrael that were not yet finished during the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And it goes from one shevet to another, how they conquered various pieces of land. And the pasuk says as follows, this is Shoftim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis, Vayalu Beis Yosef Gamheim Beis El Vashem Imon. The house of Yosef came now to conquer their land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. Vayosiru Beis Yosef Beis El, and Beis Yosef was spying on Beis El. V'shem ho'el lefonim Luz. The name of that city was called Luz. Vayosiru means to spy, just parenthetically. It's interesting to point out, the Rishonim point this out, that the Aramaic translation, the Targum, the word Vayosiru is Ma'alulim, or Shlachu Ma'alulim. They sent spies, like Latur Esoretz. Any place in Tanakh where you'll find the Tofresh root, Latur, Vayosiru, any word like that, you will always find the Aramaic translation is Ma'alun Ve'elulun, which the Rishonim points out is the root of the name Elul. The month Elul, we know, has all sorts of acronyms, Anilu Dodi V'Dodi Dili, and many, many others which Rishonim bring down. But what does the word actually mean? The word means to spy, to investigate, to check up, from the roots, the Aramaic root of the word Latur Esa'aretz Vayasiru Oshlachu Ma'alun. That's the avoid of Elul, obviously, to inspect ourselves and to investigate within ourselves. So anyway, Vayasiru Beis Yosef Beis El, they, Beis Yosef, were spying on Beis El for some reason, as we'll see. V'shem ho'el lefonim Luz, the name of that city used to be called Luz. Next pasuk, Vayiru Hashemri, when the Jewish guards saw Ish Yotzim in the ear, a man was emerging from the city. Vayomru Lo, and they said to this man, Hareinu Noas M'voy Ho'el, could you please show us the entrance to the city? V'asinu Imcha Chased, we will do chesed with you if you show us the entrance of the city. What's the problem? Rashi here quotes the Chazal. This was a really fascinating city. There was no apparent entrance to the city. Nobody knew how to get into the city. We don't know if it was camouflaged with trees all the way around, it was on some hill or underground, it's not clear. But whatever it was, there was no apparent entrance to the city. And uniquely, there's no other example of it here in the Sefer Shoftim, uniquely this city needed spies to try and work out where and how to enter the city. Luz literally was the original name of the town. Luz is a hazelnut. Mefarshim points out a hazelnut is actually a nut which is enclosed on all sides. There's no indentation, there's no mouth to it, as opposed to, for example, a pistachio nut, which you can easily open up because it has that indentation. This town called Luz was literally like a Luz. It had no mouth, it had no apparent entrance, it had no petach to it that a person could enter. And for this reason, the Beis Yosef sent spies to try and work out how do we enter this place. And all of a sudden, the Shomrim, the Jewish guards, who were in a certain amount of danger, obviously searching for this particular entrance, all of a sudden they see a man emerge from the city. They go up to him and say to him, could you please show us the entrance of the city, and if you do so, we will do chesed with you. Rashi here points out, the only way to get into this city, says Rashi, shoyunichnosim lo derech ha-ma'ara, the only way to get into this city was through a cave. V'luz echad oyimid al pi ha-ma'ara, there was a luz, which is a hazelnut tree, a large tree, that was standing at the entrance of this cave. V'nichnosim derech ha-luz la-ma'ara, the only way to get in there was through that tree. It seems it opened up the trunk of the tree. You would enter the trunk of the tree, which then led into a cave, which took you into the town. That was the way this town, this is all well before the invention of F-16 bombers. There was no apparent entrance of and way of conquering this town unless you went through the bark of the tree, through the trunk of the tree, and into the town. So they asked this man to help them, says Pasuk Chafei, Vayareim Esmevoi Ha'ir, and he showed them the entrance to the city. Says Rashi, again, this is all based upon the Gemara and Sota, Vayareim, says Rashi, Be'etzboi. All he did was, he raised his finger and pointed to the entrance of the town. Continues the Pasuk, Vayareim Esmevoi Ha'ir, he showed them the entrance of the city, Vayaku Esa'ir Lefi Chorev, and they struck the city by the sword. And the man who pointed and saved and helped them find the entrance, he and his entire family were saved. That's the chesed that he did. Not only they saved him, but they saved his family as well. And other than that, everyone in the town apparently was killed, like the mitzvah of Lo Yisachaya Kol Neshama demands, and the town was conquered and now in the hands of Yosef. Pasuk Chavav, Vayelech Ha'ish, and then this man went, Eretz HaChitim. He went to Eretz HaChitim, which we're not exactly sure where that is, but believe me, by the time we're finished, you'll want to know where that is. We'll be selling tickets later to the place. Vayiven Ir, and he built himself a city, Vayikra Shema Luz. And he, this sole survivor, besides his family, of this old Luz, the first Luz, which was the one which was camouflaged, no one could enter, he then afterwards went and built himself a new town in Eretz HaChitim. He called it Luz, similar name to the original town. Hu Shma Ad Hayoim Hazeh, that's the name of this town, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. Now, generally, it's always important to know, in Tanakh, in general, whenever the Pasuk says in Novi, Ad Hayoim Hazeh, that usually means Ad Hayoim Hazeh until this particular Sefer was written. So, for example, in the case of Shoftim, which was written by Shmuel HaNovi, usually it would mean, usually, Ad Hayoim Hazeh, this was the name of the place until the day, i.e. today, that Shmuel was alive. Here, quite uniquely, Chazal tell us that Ad Hayom Hazeh does not only mean till the days that the author of Sefer Shoftim lived, it went on well beyond that. He called the name of the town Luz, Hu Shma Ad Hayom Hazeh. Rashi here quotes only part of the Chazal. But Chazal tell us something amazing. If you think the first town was incredible, wait till you meet Luz 2. Luz 2, the second town which this sole survivor built, say Chazal, later on in history, hundreds of years down the line, Lo Bilbalo Sancheriv, when Sancheriv came and mixed up the entire world, Bas Sancheriv or Bilbel Eskoil, I don't say Chazal, he mixed and made the cholums of the entire world. But there was one town which he never had entry to, and that was Luz 2. Continues Rashi, quoting this Chazal, V'lo Hechriva Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who pillaged and destroyed countless towns, destroyed and destroyed and destroyed, but there was one town he had no entry into, and that was Luz 2. Totally protected, totally unharmed, Luz 2 was untouched by Nebuchadnezzar. And here comes the real surprise, says the Gemara, the Malach HaMoris has a power to enter and take a person's life anywhere and everywhere in the world. But there's one place where there's no trespassing sign for the angel of death, and that is in Luz 2. And the Gemara interestingly tells us that when people got fed up with life in Luz 2, they would exit from the boundaries of the town, and then, it seems later on in their life, the Malach HaMoris could get them. Which, by the way, interestingly enough, psychologically tells us something about how long people would want to live. It seems that a person could come to the stage that, you know, I've been here a certain amount of years, 120, 130 years, enough's enough, take a stroll, and that will be the end of it. But this is this incredible town called Luz 2. Obviously, we need to understand here, what did this person already do to have such a fantastic reward that no physical harm can live for as long as his life, and this is any guy's absolute dream. Do what you want, live as long as you like, no one will physically harm you, and you are in control of your fate. And this is what this man did. End of story. That's the whole, that is the, this is the episode that took place in Sefer Shoftim, but we'll see there are tremendous amounts of interesting things going on here. We'll see what we can cover in the next 19 and 3/4 minutes. First of all, Chazal tell us, we learn a very important lesson from here. How is this all relevant to us? Says the Gemara, Mikan, from here we learn, Shekoifin lelevoya, that we have to do the mitzvah of levoya, which means accompanying a guest out of your house. And from here we learn that schar levoya ein lo shir, the reward for the mitzvah of levoya, accompanying a guest from your house, ein lo shir, it's unimaginable how incredible the schar of that mitzvah is. Now let's first understand, where does levoya all of a sudden come in here? So the Mefarshim explain as follows. The mitzvah of levoya literally is accompanying a guest out of the house. This person, when the Meraglim, when these spies were trying to search for the entrance of the town, they were confused. They were in a certain element amount of danger here, because while searching for the entry of an enemy's town, you're in danger. This man raised his finger and pointed to the entrance of the town, which was that tree, and he therefore helped confused people reach their destination safely. Being in that confused state, they were in a certain amount of danger, because again, the enemy would have perhaps tried to kill them had they been caught searching for the entrance of their town. And all this man did, and all he did was raise his finger, nothing more than that. He showed them the entrance of the town, possibly even to save his own skin. But the reality is, he helped Jews reach their destination safely. That, in essence, is the mitzvah of levoya, which is, again, helping your guest find his destination safely. A person who comes to your house, you take him out of the house, you show him how to reach his destination. Some poskim say bizman hazeh, it's not so relevant because we have signposts, etc. Things are much easily found, but the reality is, many mefarshim and Chofetz Chaim brings this down as well, it's definitely a mitzvah which a person should try still to do. We'll come to that in a moment, Zimit Hashem. But this is how the mitzvah of levoya connects to this person. He raised his finger, he points to the entrance of the town, and he helped people in confusion and danger find their destination. As a result of that, this man was rewarded in the world where he gets rewards, Olam Hazeh, with the most incredible rewards. You helped people that were in a certain amount of danger reach their destination safely. You will now live in an incredible town where you will live in safety. And you will not be harmed, that's the Midah Keneged Midah here, you will not be harmed by any outside forces, and this is a goy's dream. He lived in Eretz HaChitim. The Marsha writes, Chitim is Ches Tof Yud Mem. You rearrange that letters, it's Meis Chai. Where most people died, in this place, Chai, they continued living. And what is relevant to us here is, from here we have, at first glance we see here, that the mitzvah of levoya is such a huge mitzvah. Every move that a person makes for the mitzvah of levoya will bring you tremendous, tremendous schar in the world where we get schar, which is Olam Haba. Rabbeinu B'chaya actually in one place points out that we find the word Vayitzah twice. In one place it says, Vayitzah gan be'eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a gun in Eden. And the other place is by Avraham Avinu, which is Vayitzah Eshel. He planted an Eshel, which we know Eshel stands for Achila, Shtia, and Lina, or many say Levoya as well, which is one of the things that the Rambam established, the Rambam calls it the Chok, Shechokak Avraham Avinu. He was the one who established this Chok, that Achnos Zorchim doesn't only include Achila and Shtia, but it also includes Levoya, and it says Vayitza here and Vayitza here, just like Vayitza Eshel, he established this whole foundation of how Achnos Zorchim should be done, i.e. Achila, Shtia, and Levoya. Similarly, the other Vayitza, which is Sugna Mat Gan Eden, is telling you that if you do the mitzvah of levoya, you will be massively rewarded in Gan Eden. And here we see an even bigger chiddush, that the slightest move, a person just raises their finger, and this man gets so massively rewarded in this world. This story of Luz is a dimyon, which is an analogue, it's a resemblance, a similarity to what is going to be in Olam Haba. The Ben Ish Chai writes this very clearly. He says that the story of Luz here besides what we've just discussed, to teach us the importance of the mitzvah of Levoya. But it's actually an episode here in Novi that allows us to peek behind the curtain and get a glimpse of what kind of reward a person will get in Olam Haba. Here you see that a man, what did he do already? He picked up his finger, pointed, helped confuse people in danger, reach their destination, and gets what appears to us as an exaggerated reward in this world. This is an analogue, this is something, a resemblance, a dimyon, as he calls it, to show us how massively every person will be rewarded for every move that you do for any mitzvah. But here we're specifically talking about the mitzvah of Levoya. That's even raising fingers or doing a small act or a small move will give a person tremendous schar in that world. And the Ben Ish Chai actually writes an interesting remez in Lashon HaKodesh. Uniquely, it's one of the reasons why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Not only do we learn lessons from the pshat of the words and the gematria of the words and the formation and sequence of the letters and the shapes of the letters, the Maral, all these mefarshim are full of these things. There's also a very special limud in Lashon HaKodesh called the milui of a word. That you have the word, and when you fill out the letters of the word, behind those letters that you see lie very interesting other deeper ideas. For example, Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. But if you write the letters Aleph, in other words, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Dalet is Dalet, Lamed, Tov, and Mem is Mem, Mem. So if you picture this, the inner letters of Adam read Mispalel, which Mufashim Migdan has a remez that the backing of every person, the key of every person is a Kerech HaTfilah, and there's untold amounts of examples of this. Here the Ben Ish Chai gives another example. What he's saying here is that this whole episode is a dimyon to Olam Haba, that this gives us a little glimpse behind the curtain of what tremendous schar a person will get for every move that they do. So the Ben Ish Chai, the place is called Luz. If you write out the word Luz, B'miloi, so again, Lamed is Lamed, Mem, Dalet, Vav is Vav, Vav, and Zayin is Zayin, Yud, Nun. So the first letters obviously read Luz. If you look the inner letters, you rearrange the inner letters, it reads the word Dimyon, which again means an analogue, a resemblance. This whole story is a Dimyon to Olam Haba. It gives us an idea of the tremendous rewards that a person will get. Specifically, we're talking about the mitzvah of Levoya, but every move, every act that a person does, however small, however big, however difficult, is calculated, and a person will be massively rewarded for everything they do. And this is the mitzvah of Levoya. The mitzvah of Levoya is, the Maral discusses this, the Shlach HaKodesh, why is it such a special mitzvah? On a simple level, when you come to visit a person, so how do you know that that person appreciated that you came? The fact that they asked you to come in could be because they're embarrassed. The fact they gave you to food, that just might be simple etiquette. The way you know that someone was happy that you came is that when you leave, they don't just slam the door behind you, they accompany you, and it shows that they actually cherished your visit. The Maral discusses other ideas. The Maral writes that he talks about the Tzelem Elikim that a person has. That's what causes the Tzelem Elikim of every human being, is what causes the creations to be scared of mankind. Even a baby, a certain animal, can have a certain fear of a living baby, but when he's dead, no one is scared of him, not even a mouse. But the Tzelem Elikim is the cause of a person's protection, and the animals and the other elements of the creation are scared of him. So the Tzelem Elikim, says the Maral, the more covered you give the Tzelem Elikim, the more choshev you make the person, and the stronger the Tzelem will be, and that is a greater protection for the person. So the Maral discusses that when you accompany a guest out of your house, in essence what you're doing here is you're being mechabad the person, i.e. mechabad is Tzelem Elikim, and the more you mechabad Tzelem Elikim, the more protection that will be for the person. That's how the Maral learns it. The Shlach HaKodesh is another. He learns that the word Levoya comes from the word Chibor, like it says by Levi's birth, Atah Yelavi Ishi Elai, it's from the word of Chibor. And he talks about the fact that when there's a Tzibor, there's a Kerech of Tzibor, the Kerech of Tzibor together is a Shmira, and when a person leaves town, leaves the Tzibor, so there's a certain element of danger, but when I am the lover of that person who leaves the town, it's as if I'm saying you are connected still to the Tzibor, you still have the Kerech HaTzibor, you still have the Shmira of the Tzibor. These are various ideas behind what the Inyan of Levoya is, but this is the story. At first glance, this is the end of the story, right? There's a small episode here, conquering a town, They can't get into the first town because it's camouflaged or whatever. The only way to get is through the tree. Eventually, this man raises his finger, shows them how to get in. They get in, wipe out everyone besides him and his family, and afterwards, he builds a new town in Eretz HaChittim, an incredible place, Meis Chai. This place is a unique place where no one dies. People live as long as they want, no physical harm. It's a dinyan to Olam Haba, and we learn from here the chashivas of the mitzvah of Levoya and the chashivas of every physical act that a person does, however small and however big. But the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us there's a lot more going on here, and this is how it relates to what the topic title of today is. When you think about this, there's a very fascinating parallel between this episode and something else. What's going on here? This man, in essence, did the mitzvah of Levoya, accompanying a guest. We saw that after doing what he did, raising his finger and helping these confused people in danger reach their destination, which is the mitzvah of Levoya in essence, he then went on to build a town called Luz, and the reward he had was eternity. What an interesting parallel to the following. On Matzah Shabbos, we have a mitzvah called Melava Malka, which literally means being Melava, the Melech, the Malka, the Shabbos Queen. And as we well know, there is a bone behind a person's head called the Luz bone, which we'll discuss in a moment, connects the head to the rest of the body behind there, called the Luz bone. And we know that the only way that that Luz bone is nourished, and from that Luz bone will come, as we're told, the only way that particular Luz bone is nourished is through the Su'udah of Melava Malka, and the reward for doing that is eternity. So the parallel is very clear. Levoya, Luz, town, Luz bone, eternity, and eternity. So let me just, for the 8 1/4 minutes that we have, just try and discuss as much as we can to try and understand what's going on. Just first a few points to understand a bit what's going on with this whole Luz bone. There's a whole discussion, is it a physical bone, is it not a physical bone? There's a medrash in one place which talks about, I think it was with Hadrian, he didn't believe in this whole Luz bone business, and he basically summons someone to bring him a Luz bone, and he wants to test, really, can this thing really last forever? Is it true that it has no shaychus to death? So the Medrash tells us he took the Luz bone and threw it into water to see if it would dissolve, and it didn't. He took the Luz bone and threw it into a fire to see if it would disintegrate, and it didn't. And then, out of frustration, he took a hammer and he slammed so hard on this Luz bone that he broke the hammer. But the Luz bone lasted forever, which again, it seems from this Medrash that it is a physical bone, but there's many discussions about this, and there's a lot of different consequences coming out of this whole discussion, but the reality is that is a bone which is behind the neck, which from nourishing, from eating Melava Malka, that's where Tchias HaMeisim will come from. Now, what's so unique about this particular bone that only this bone of all the anatomy, all the human body, that's the only bone of the hundreds of bones that a person has, that's the only one that will last forever? So the Sharatzin brings down from Kadmonim an interesting thing, which explains why of all the bones this is the only one not to decay or die. The Chet of Adam happened on Yom Shishi. He was told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas on Yom Shishi. He did eat from the Eitz Hadas on Yom Shishi, and as a result of that, death came down onto the world. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the name of the Eli Rabbi brings this down. The entire body now that nourished from this Luz bone is now under the decree of death. That's what's happened as a result of this. However, there's one tiny little bone that doesn't nourish from a Friday afternoon meal. Right? It happened on Friday. And on Yom Shishi, the Luz bone doesn't nourish from any food that is eaten. The Luz bone only nourishes from a Matzah Shabbos meal, as we'll see in a moment. But that is the only meal that nourishes the Luz bone, and therefore it comes out as a result of that. The only bone that did not partake of the Chet Eitz Hadas is the Luz bone, and therefore it was never under the decree of death, and therefore that's the only bone that lasts and never disintegrates. That's what the Chofetz Chaim brings down. Now, I've seen in Sfarim also an interesting thing, another interesting connection between the Luz bone and Matzah Shabbos and Melava Malka. The Luz bone is the bone behind the neck that connects the head to the rest of the body. The Roish, the head, is the holiest part of the body. It's the, as the Mishnah Berurah Chazal call it, the Melech Shebe'ivarim. The head is to be treated that way, That's why, strictly halachically speaking, a person, when they take a shower, should first wash their head, then the right hand side and the left hand side. Because the head is the mishkan haseichel, it's the kodesh, it's the holiest part of the human body. And should be treated so. So the head is the kodesh, vis-a-vis the rest of the body, which is the chol. So the luz bone is the bone physically on the body that connects the kodesh, the head, to the chol, the rest of the body. And that luz bone, in the world of the human body, parallels what Matzah Shabbos is in the world of time. Matzah Shabbos is the Mlava Malkamil, is the moment that is Mechaber, that connects the head, i.e. Shabbos, which is the head of the week. Svarim points out, if you take the word Shabbos, what's the letter before Shin, Reish? What's the letter before Beis, Aleph? And what's the letter before Tov? Shin, which is Reish. The letters before the word Shabbos is Reish. Shabbos is Kihi Mekor HaBrocha. Shabbos is the Reish of the coming week. And that holy day is the day which ushers in and brings in all the Kedusha and everything else to the coming week, the Bracha to the coming week. The moment of Chibur between Kodesh and Chayil is Moitz Shabbos, the Mlava Malka. And that parallels what the Luz bone is on the physical body, the bone that connects the Kodesh to the Chayil. And this is what's going on here with the Luz bone. Now, just very briefly, we only got another 4 minutes to speak, but this luz bone is nourished on the Matzah Shabbos meal. The reason for this is Nefesh HaChaim brings down that before the Chet of Adam, the Yetzer Hara was external to a person, and one clearly understood the difference between good and bad. After the Chet, the Yetzer Hara entered, and truth and clarity are all clouded. There's a mixture of Tov and Ra in everything. Even in the food that we eat, even the food that we digest, there's combinations of Tov and Ra, there's nettles and all sorts of other things that are psoiles, and this is all a result of the Chet Eitz Hadas. So the luz bone, as we discussed, is the only bone that remains completely pure, never tainted by the Chet Eitz Hadas. And therefore the luz bone can only be nourished by a very, very pure diet. It can't digest the normal foods which have been tainted by the Chet Eitz Hadas. In other words, normal foods have a mixture of Tov and Ra in them because of the Chet, because of what happens. Even Shabbos food, which obviously has a tremendous Kedusha, but there is a certain component of physical gratification when you eat Shabbos food. Right? We all like Hatsholot, we all like this, and the fact is, when you wake up in the morning, when you have your Leil Shabbos meal, there's an enjoyment, and you're waiting for that meal. You eat, you want it, you need it. Matzah Shabbos, as we all know, it's not always so easy to eat Malavu Malka. And there's a tremendous element of L'Shem Shemayim, especially if ideally it's eaten immediately after Shabbos, which is the ideal time, strictly speaking. So, the Matzah Shabbos meal is a meal which is more often than not eaten L'Shem Mitzvah, and that pure intention that is attached to the Matzah Shabbos meal, the Mlava Malka meal, is the only kind of holy food, if you like, which the Luz bone, which was never tainted from the Chet Eitz Hadas, can eat. And this is the idea behind many of the Zmiris we see. You see on Matzah Shabbos, you'll see that really this is one of the only mitzvahs that we can do, an act, which is a way of physically doing something for one of Yud Gimel Ikrim of Tchias HaMeisim. Like, what else can we do physically to show that we believe in the concept of Tchias HaMeisim? The Matzah Shabbos meal does that for us, and the Maisa Mitzvah that we can do for that is eating the Malava Malka, which nourishes that luz bone and makes that interesting connection. And besides the whole idea of bringing Shabbos into the next of the week and into the week and the Kedusha of Shabbos into the rest of the week, but this is a mitzvah which ideally a person should try and do as soon as possible after Shabbos. Ideally, a person should, halachically speaking, try and have a hot dish for Matzah Shabbos. Ideally, a person should try and make something new on Matzah Shabbos, not necessarily leftovers. And the Chasam Sofer says the reason for that is because he wants the new actions of the coming week to be affected by the Shabbos. And ideally, it should be something hot. So ideally, it should be something new. Ideally, one should sing Zmiris. And if you look at the Zmiris in light of what we've discussed, a lot of them make sense now. Eliyahu Hanavi we talk about, because he also was a person that had eternity and went up to Shemayim, body and soul. We talk about Yaakov Avinu, which is related to this week's Parsha. Yaakov Avinu, Loi Meis, as Chazal tell us. Also, eternity. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayom, Tzudas David Malka Mashiach, which is also the concept of eternity. And This is something which accompanies us throughout things. I just want to finish 30 seconds. The Shas and Shuvas Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Yudalef, he writes as follows. V'omnon kein, ha-koysel ha-maravi hu ha-luz. Symbolically, he writes, the koysel ha-maravi is also like a luz. Shenisha kayim v'oymed mehaguf ha-kodesh hazeh beis mikdoshenu v'tifarteinu. Just like from the human body, the only thing that remains is the luz. The only thing symbolically of the Beis HaMikdash that has remained, the luz of the Beis HaMikdash, is the koysel ha-maravi. The Eilov, Kolapios, Poinois, all mouths and tefillahs are focused on the Kosel, or Mishom, Yigale, the Iraqi, Mechodesh, just like the body will once again be re-established through the Luzbone by Tchias HaMesim. Similarly, the Beis HaMikdash will once again be re-established through the Kosel HaMarovi. Ha'esh Ha'asid, Sheigale, V'yofia, Mimoroim, Bo'eres, Eilomim, V'derech Shom, Ya'alu, V'yovoyu, V'yagiyu, Gulosenu, U'pedus Nafshenu, Hashlemim, She'en Achreim, Shibud. Bez Hashem.